from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, I like when you take charge around here, because when you take charge around here, you're like the big fish. Now, I did not like these magnet boards that were hung on the walls out in the newsroom, and what they would depict are the standings for all the major sports leagues here in our country, and you went out there and you just ripped them off the wall.
I did. I ripped them right off the wall, and I was going to throw them out, but you said, don't throw them out. I said, okay, I'm not going to throw them out. And then Paul R. Zuman, a legendary production man here at WFAN, he took them and put them in Zach Martin's office, who was another production guy. And the reason why we put them in Zach's office is Zach is a hoarder of crap that doesn't mean anything. So we decided to put it in there.
All right, so CBS Sports Network now does have a photo of the wall that I was talking about. And as you see the photo, if you are watching on TV, you'll understand why I was just so taken aback that somebody decided just to hang this stuff in the middle of an office wall and not even hang it evenly. I mean, look at it. It looks like some kid hung it in his wall in his bedroom.
Yeah, I know. It's like it was these little 3M sticker things that were there.
What are we doing?
That way you don't damage the walls.
Yeah, okay. But yet, when I ripped it off, part of the paint came off on the thing. So there's now...
Well,
there's
those walls need to be painted a different color or something. I understand that there needs to be something up there, but not this.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's gone now.
Look at it.
I know.
None of it's even.
And Gio, I heard your explanation as to why you ripped them down. Yeah. I'm 100% with you, because every day it would bother him, and he would talk about it until it was not there.
And for whatever reason, he didn't want to rip it down himself, and he kept saying, I got to be careful about it, where these came from, which I don't understand.
I don't know. Somebody who put them up thought that they were doing a nice thing.
Well, they were wrong.
I agree with you. So I do want to take into account somebody else's feelings.
Well, you have now just peed all over their feelings.
Well, I thought it was very selfish of somebody doing that without, you know, checking with somebody. Did they check with anybody? And if they did check with anybody, was it the brand ambassador? What does he think about it?
Well, they were trying to do a nice thing, and you just kind of...
Do you think this is something that the brand ambassador would support?
Absolutely not. No. I mean,
he is the one that should be ripping the stuff down, because there's no way that Chernoff would have let that go on.
Who did this? Oh, my God. Every day it's something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing, especially when you bring, like, clients through here and stuff. I mean, that's just... That's someone who doesn't really understand the professional side of this business and just thinks that it's some little playground for them. And it's not. So we ripped it down and we took control of the situation. That's all.
Okay.
You know?
I like that.
You happy now?
Yeah, because you flexed your muscles.
I didn't necessarily do that. I just wanted to make sure that you were happy.
Okay.
That's really what it was.
I feel better.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something after that.
No.
But you're like, I feel better. But, by the way, you know, when someone called up earlier and said that we were bickering like Kay and Flaherty, we never talked about that whole exchange. Now, do you know what that caller was referencing?
Yes, I do.
All right. So I guess the two of them got into it in a weird way during a broadcast recently about how Michael Kay wasn't talking to Flaherty on the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a real thing, though?
I don't know. John was probably, you know, just having some fun, and Michael may have taken it seriously, and then the next day they hugged it out because somebody wrote about it.
Oh, did they hug it out the next day?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm just happy for them because they seem to be like a happy broadcasting couple when they work together. Maybe it just didn't sound that way for that one day.
I know that you love John Flaherty.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty.
Yeah, you absolutely love the guy.
I love me some John Flaherty because he's not afraid to criticize and he tells you like it is and he sees the game from a catcher's eyes. And there's nothing like a catcher. I'm serious. I don't mind the other guys, but I'm just saying catchers have to take into account everything.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. No, they do. There's nothing like the catcher.
Especially when it comes to handling the pitching staff.
Yes, certainly. But I guess, I mean, if you're in that booth all the time, the one thing that was interesting
but
to me
is... But they're not in that booth all the time. That's the thing. There's like 97 guys they run through there.
The one thing that was interesting to me during that exchange back and forth was when Michael Kay said, well, I hear that you tell management that you'd rather work with Rucco. I was like, oh, maybe this thing is real. Well, you see this, Al?
Maybe he was messing with John. I don't know. John was messing with him, and then he was messing with John.
I think it might have been real.
I never clicked on it because I read the initial story. Then I read that they were all good the next day, and I was like, I just didn't click on it.
You know, see, I'm sure you can find it very quickly on X, the original exchange. So I'm pretty good at determining things that are fake and things that are not. If you notice, I've been like batting 1,000 on these. Like the Dana White, Howie Mandel thing, fake. Knew immediately. Spike and Evan, fake. Knew immediately. This one, I wasn't 100% sure, but I believe that this is a real bickering session.
Sometimes when we athletes talk to you radio people or TV people who don't really play but love to talk about it or love to be around it, hey, and you love the sport, hey, which is fine.
If you can't play it.
Talk it.
Yep.
So, and we get into your grill a little bit and have a little fun at your expense. The middle, you guys get a little bit upset and you get a little bit short with us.
That happens.
And when we gather our athlete conventions and talk about things, we laugh about these things.
All right. So let's take a listen. This is courtesy of the Yes Network. This is Michael Kay and John Flaherty going back and forth a few days ago. Now, since... they have made up, so just so you know, that's part of the story. But this is what everybody was talking about.
The middle of a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, and you know, you weren't very talkative on the bus this morning to the field, but as I was driving here, I was thinking it'd be great to get a place that's close. You can walk back and forth. I know you mentioned Don Zimmer living out in the apartments out in center field. But I just had a lot of time to think on the team bus today because it was just very quiet.
So you'd rather me be chatty. I wasn't feeling great.
I haven't seen you in a long time, right? You don't work road trips anymore when I'm on the road. So I thought we would catch up, but it quickly was evident that you weren't in the mood. So I gathered my thoughts about how it would be nice to live close to Wrigley, walk back and forth to the park.
Interesting narrative that you're putting together. Because I've been told by executives that you prefer to work with Rucco. That's why you two guys are matched up all the time. I mean, that's just what I heard. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
I just put it together that the road trips you don't want to go on, that I end up working with Ryan Rucco because we're willing to work the games on the road.
Ground ball to short.
There you go.
Swanson.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
I love that. That's
listen, John, I don't pick out my schedule. I go where I'm told. Be very chatty tomorrow.
No, I just want to make sure that you're okay. I was a little worried about you.
I think you were worried that I wouldn't be talking much on the broadcast.
Okay. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You got those.
They were zinging each other back and forth.
Yeah. But I think there was some truth to it.
Yeah, sometimes when you zing each other, you go like to the heart of the truth.
And then all of a sudden it hurts. And then the whole thing. And then whatever.
But you realize what you're in the middle of and you're doing it on a microphone.
Well, anyway, it was entertaining though for the most part.
So I, you know, I and there's no way Like, if Michael Kay doesn't have to go to Detroit, Michael Kay doesn't have to go to Oakland, he's not going.
Yeah.
He's the lead guy, and he probably gets to pick out the games he goes to.
And he does a radio show every day as well, so. Yeah.
So you got to love the work ethic.
Yeah, and he's been doing it for years. So, yeah,
he's got to be my age, right?
Yeah, I would think so, right around there.
So he's cutting back.
Yeah, good for you. So
he's like, you know what's going to end up happening? It's going to be just like John Sterling. When Michael decides to step down, he'll come back and just do the playoffs.
Yeah, kick Ruco out of there and slide right next to Flaherty. He'll be pissed off about it. Anyway,
who knows? Maybe Ryan Ruco is bitching and complaining to Flaherty, and that's why Flaherty's doing this.
Maybe, but you don't get a lot of that during the broadcast, like play-by-play broadcast. You don't get a lot of that stuff that we just heard. Very, very rare. You think you'd get more of it because they're with each other for a lot, but I guess Flaherty and Kay are not with each other.
No, because it's mainly Paul O'Neill. Then sometimes it's Paul O'Neill and David Cone.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometimes it's Flaherty. Don't they throw a few other people in there?
I got to tell you.
But last year they had a bunch of guys. Yeah, two years ago.
Cameron Maben, Carlos Beltran. I mean, when I turn on those broadcasts, I don't even think about it anymore. Honestly, it's the same group of guys and whatever.
It's like us. You can turn on our broadcast, it's the same group of guys.
Yeah. No.
About the same amount of time.
No, but the game is the thing.
Oh, the game is the thing.
As opposed to here where we are the thing. You understand what I'm saying? We are the thing. The game is the thing there.
That's a t-shirt. We are the thing.
We are the thing. I have to bring this up because I was stunned when I saw this. So when I say Tony Romo, when you think about Tony Romo, put Tony Romo in your head right now. Right?
Okay. I'm imagining Tony Romo.
In an image in your head.
Clothed.
Okay. Yes, clothed.
Okay.
Tell me what you, just describe that to me.
He's a good-looking guy. He's got dark hair. I'd like him to use a little bit more, like, gel, but he doesn't use as much gel as I'd like. Buttoned up.
Sure.
A little intense.
Yeah.
Kind of flamboyant in terms of, you know, personality and livelihood, that kind of thing.
All right, I'm just talking more appearance-wise, but you hit on a couple of those things, and that... I would agree. You think that Tony Romo, very well dressed, you know, he's got the hair going, maybe a little bit of scruff in the beard. He does like to do that from time to time. So I put on this Bryson DeChambeau Break 50 YouTube video yesterday, and he's done that with many people, including Donald Trump, which got like millions upon millions of views. He also did with John Daly, who got millions of views. So he tries to break 50 from the front tees with somebody. And this time it's Tony Romo. And I looked at the comments because I just wanted to see if people saw the same thing I did. I mean, Tony Romo looked like he slept in a tent outside of that golf course and then got up and played with Bryson DeChambeau after grabbing clothes out of a Salvation Army bucket.
I mean, is that true? I didn't see it. I don't know.
I couldn't believe it.
But, when did they do this?
I don't know. Recently, in the last week or so.
Oh, in the last week or so.
Yeah. I mean, he looks nothing like himself.
So
like
this was before the season started?
This is obviously, it had to have been, yeah.
Right. I was thinking if they did it after a game that he was doing, maybe he was tired, maybe whatever.
But I was like, man. And I remember seeing Tony Romo at the Super Bowl waiting to go on the Drew Barrymore show. And like I saw him and exactly what I expected.
Yes.
Button up, great clothes, like everything. But for whatever reason, in this video, he decided, I mean, it looks like he came back from a friend's bachelor party in Vegas, took the red eye to this thing, and then just showed up. He's got like gym shorts on.
Who knows? Maybe he and Bryson were out the night before.
Bryson could not look better. And by the way, I think Bryson drinks like twice a year.
Oh, okay.
Just for his like analytics and his body. Like if he wins a major, he has like three drinks.
His analytics and his body.
But I mean, really. But just take a look at it. I almost asked Phil about it. But Phil, I knew Phil, there's no way he was watching that video.
Right.
But he looks nothing like himself.
I'll have to check this out and now. Now you've piqued my interest.
And he's got like some swamp ass going on.
He's got some swamp ass. Where did they do this in Dallas?
I'm not sure where they did it. They did it wherever a live event will be happening soon because they were building stanchions that said live on it. So,
right, so they're doing a live event. I think they have a live event in Chicago, and I think they have one down in Dallas.
Okay, so yeah, he said it was his home course.
And by the way, speaking of live, you know, talk about timing. I mean, talk about timing. So maybe it has something to do with the UN in town. I have no idea. But the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, which is LIV,
yeah,
are meeting over the next few days.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And there's real,
you know what they call that? Bad optics.
And here in New York, nonetheless.
Bad optics. Not a good one.
Maybe that's why the Public Investment Fund is in town, because it has something to do with the UN being in town. I don't know. But they're trying to come together. And I think that this made-for-television event between the PGA Tour players, Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler, along with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, is going to lead to an investment from PIF into the PGA Tour that's going to allow the top 36 players on the PGA Tour to make even more money. kind of get everybody even with each other. That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you know this, because when the PGA Tour went from a non-for-profit to a profit entity, they gave the PGA Tour players equity into the PGA Tour. And there are actually four or five tiers, I think maybe four tiers of players to determine the level of equity that the players get in the PGA Tour. And I do believe that all the PGA Tour players that signed on have to stay with the PGA Tour for at least 8 years to be rewarded with the equity. So I think there are 193 players that are a part of this. And Group 1 are the star players. How many Group 1 players do you think that there are in the PGA Tour that will receive the bulk of the money from the private equity?
All right. Let me just make sure I have this. There's a lot of word salad there going on.
Well, it's not a word salad. I mean, there's actually substance there.
No, I know, but it was just a lot of stuff you threw at me and then asked a question. All right, so the players, the PGA Tour players, the star players are called... Group 1.
All right, so here's the deal. There was a $930 million investment into the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
That $930 million is going to be divvied up between 193 players.
Okay, got it.
And they will be able to receive that money, I believe, if they play a full 8 years on the PGA Tour.
Invests.
A piece of that money.
Okay, got it.
So how many, so they broke players down into four groups.
Okay.
Maybe five, but I think it's four. They have Group 1 is star players. Group 2 is steady performers. Group 3 is the upper field. Group 4 is past legends.
Okay. I will say star players.
Yes.
15.
More than that.
25.
More than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Star players?
Star players.
50.
36.
Okay.
And those 36 players, and this is all according to golf.com. I didn't make this. I was reading about this. Those star players currently right now without the LIV investment or the PIF investment, I shouldn't say the LIV, the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. Without that investment, those star players, those 36 star players, will split $750 million.
Okay.
So now if PIF comes in and puts more money in, those star players will make even more money, which would probably bring them even to some of the players at LIV. And then the LIV players that are the star players will be part of the private equity access to this. This is how complicated this is.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Just make sure I'm at the Ryder Cup. That's all I need out of you.
So anyway, so that Group 1 splits $750
million. 36 players, $750 million. Yeah, that's a nice chunk of change.
Group 2 is a steady performers. 64 players split $75 million. I don't know how they will determine all this stuff. I don't know what the equation is and what... It's all going to be based on, I think, FedEx points and...
Yeah.
All of that. So obviously Scottie Scheffler is, you know, he won $62 million this year. And his caddy won more money this year than Jack Nicklaus made his entire career.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's why the legends are a part of this group.
Good.
Because the legends will end up suing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just like some college football players are now trying to create a class action suit to go back after the Big Ten Network and the colleges at which they played at, because they did not receive any financial benefit other than their scholarship.
All right, it is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry joins us with another update, Moment of the Day, coming right up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Wow! We need more of that, man, in music today, right? You know that, like, wow, 80s sound, like, wow! Like, that sort of went away in, like, 1989, 1990. People having fun. Guys being guys. Dudes being dudes. Wearing Zubaz pants and...
That was me, baby.
Long hair and all that stuff.
I was right in the middle of the Zubaz generation. I'm trying to figure out...
Oh, yeah!
I was trying to figure out which quarterback was the one... One of us wasn't me. It may have been Marino, or it could have been Elway, or maybe it was Bernie. I'm not sure. Well, one of us had like a deal with the Zubaz, and then next thing you know, we all had a deal with the Zubaz.
Sure, it wasn't Jim Kelly, because Zubaz in Buffalo maybe, was
maybe
a
it was
big
Jim
deal.
Maybe it was Jim Kelly. That's
not George Montana.
Wouldn't have been him. No, he wasn't part of it.
Oh.
I think it was Jim Kelly.
Yeah, because Zubaz thing, in Buffalo was like a huge,
that's
huge
what it
thing.
Was.
Did you see the guy jumping off the roof of the bus through the table this weekend?
Yes, I saw that.
What? Oh, my. I don't know how you don't break
your shoulder.
That's stupidity.
Well, it's also passion.
How do you not break your shoulder? Or worse, your collarbone.
No, he doesn't care as long as his team wins, and they won, and Josh Allen was a beast.
Or liquored up.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It's all right. Feeling any pain. It's all right.
Ugh.
I think they told us at CBS when I was there not to show that anymore.
Really?
Because they felt like people were doing that to get shown on TV and things.
Well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, social media go viral, and that's really where you can't stop anything. So, that guy didn't care if the Bills won that day. He cared if he got a million views on his stupid video.
No, that guy cared about the Bills winning and getting a million views.
Okay, fine. I won't argue that.
That made him doubly happy, because they did win.
I won't argue that. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. I heard you mention the Romo thing, and the one thing I heard you say was what the comments were.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, a lot of them are very golf-centric, and they're pretty good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We did weed through some of them. Here's a few. Romo looks like he's coming off a three-day bender in Vegas and came straight to the course in the Mercedes from The Hangover while fighting Mike Tyson's Tiger.
Yep.
Tony Romo looks like he rolled out of bed and stopped at Goodwill on the way to the course for some clothes.
Yep.
Tony dressed like the volunteer football coach for the youth church team. My personal favorite, Tony looks like Detective Columbo played golf.
Yeah.
This one was
great.
This one was a little random, and I took issue with this one. Makes no sense to the conversation. Romo's fumbled field goal snap in the playoffs has to be one of the biggest chokes in Cowboys history. That's random. A few more. Romo always looks like he's coming off being 2 days drunk. Dang, Tony looking a little rough. Must be having a great time. Then there's this one. Romo worth $100 million looking like he ran out of a Goodwill store before he hit the course. And lastly, Romo, your local plumber who has one van and smells like eggs.
Wow. So this reminds me, yesterday we were talking about Jason Kelce on ESPN.
Yeah.
And he had this white shirt on. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the reason why he was wearing that white shirt. I guess somewhere, supposedly, he lost his clothes en route to where they were going, which was San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. So he had to go to a local store and buy some clothes.
I do
that
have
That was the
this.
Story.
Okay. Yeah, he ended up saying a word he shouldn't say on the air, too.
He did, and I yeah, did.
Like, again, like, nobody cares.
No.
We are in the world now where just nobody gives a flying rip about anything.
Yeah, you know,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It was Marco put it in this morning, and I forgot about it, and I didn't edit it, and I don't know what he said.
Yeah, he said, you know George Carlin's dirty words
yes.
thing? The last one.
Oh, okay. Oh.
He said that one.
Okay.
So, you know what the last one was, right?
Actually, no. I was thinking what it was, but I think what I'm thinking was the second one. What does the last one start with? The letter?
T.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he said that.
You can't say that, huh?
But he was saying it about himself.
You can't, right? I don't think you can, right?
I'm not going to try. I just didn't realize
well,
that
when
word.
You're on cable, you can say it.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you say anything, basically.
I mean, I'm sure the people at Disney were probably not very happy about that. Maybe they were. I don't know. Who knows?
That's a very good point.
But anyway, yeah, Tony Romo, I was very surprised that he showed up looking like that in that video. And it's even worse when you're standing next to Bryson, who is as just buttoned up as humanly possible.
The one thing that was interesting reading a lot of the comments, and this for anybody that plays understands, was referencing how incredible of a golfer Romo is and how much better DeChambeau is.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Damn. That's pretty good.
But I thought one of the great stories that came out of this year's FedEx Championship was that last game going into it where Scottie Scheffler was basically, handed a 7-stroke lead. And they were asking Scotty, what is it like playing with your friends? Do you have to give them strokes and everything else? He goes, yeah, they have me as a +7 as well. So, not a -7, but a +7 in this case. And he goes, he'll lose every now and again to a couple of his 13 to 15 to handicap buddies.
Yeah, because which, yeah, like
that's the great thing. But that's the great thing about golf.
Yeah.
Like, you can even it out. Like, we're going to find out today. Because we're going to even it out, and you're gonna play your ass off.
Damn right.
I expect a good report. All right, let's get to the baseball from last night where the Blue Jays beat the Mets 6-2. Toronto scored 4 runs in the third off of the guy who's been really reliable, David Peterson. He allowed 5 runs over 4 1/3. More than 2 runs for the first time in 10 road starts. Was not a good night. Here is their manager, Carlos Mendoza.
He had a hard time putting hitters away when he was, the few times he got ahead, he just had a hard time putting hitters away. And then we didn't make a couple of plays defensively. It was just not a good night for us.
And here was Peterson himself, specifically about that third inning.
One inning. Let the third get away from me and didn't stop the bleeding fast enough.
And meantime, Chris Bassitt, who looked like he'd be on the ropes early, settled in to throw 6 innings, 8 strikeouts for the win. So the Mets are now 79-66. And as we continue to go back and forth, they find themselves tied with the Braves again for that third wild card.
Michael Harris strokes one to deep right field. That one is back to the wall and out of here. That's into the bullpen. Hit very well off the bat of Michael Harris.
At that point, made it 5-0. There was no doubt about this game. Atlanta just clobbered Washington 12-0. Braves radio with the call. So while the Mets and Braves are tied for the third wild card spot, and spots 1 and 2, as we know, are San Diego and Arizona, they both won as well. So the Mets now 2 out in the loss column to those teams. The Mets 79-66, even with Atlanta. As for the Yankees, same thing with them in Baltimore. Nip and tuck as it goes. Baltimore wins, Yankees lose.
Witt grounds it hard left side of the infield through a base hit. Dominguez charges, Isbell rounds third. Dominguez just flips it into second, doesn't throw home. It's an RBI single for Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. made it 1-0, and that's all they needed because Seth Lugo was outstanding last night. Emmanuel Babari with the call on the fan, 5-0 would be the final. Salvador Perez would come through with a couple of RBI singles, and Tommy Pham homered. Lugo now 16-6. ERA under 3 at 2.94. Here was Juan Soto. Why was he so good?
He was pounding the strike zone. He was putting strike 1 and strike 2 to most of the guys. But yeah, definitely he's tough with a guy who has like 9 pitches, and he was showing every pitch today. So he was throwing everything. He was confident about it, and he just keep us off balance.
I'm serious when I ask this question. How the hell does the catcher remember what all the pitches are?
That's only nine.
And like I said, Bassett has eight of them. And this guy's got nine pitches.
Hmm.
Like, what? Have you ever put on the comm thing, whatever it's called?
No.
The pitch comm? Like, what does it say? Is it like Siri? Slider.
I was thinking before, could I even name nine pitches?
I will tell you, looking at when they put up Bassett's eight, you can. It just takes a minute to go through them.
So is like a two-seam fastball,
that's
four-seam fastball?
That's two.
All right. So yes. I didn't know if they did that. So
you got two-seam, four-seam.
Curve.
Sweeper.
Sweeper and curve. That's four. Yep.
Slider.
Slider is five.
Knuckle
sinker.
Curve.
Sinker. Yep.
Knuckle curve.
That could be.
Splitter.
That's another one.
Forkball.
Yes, fork, but no one's splitter. Throwing that.
Screwball.
No one's throwing that either.
Knuckleball.
Phil Negro. knuckleball, but that wasn't one.
See, it mattered.
The cutter.
The cutter, yeah. Cutter. The screwball basically is the cutter.
And the slurve.
Yeah.
When they throw it at 60 miles an hour. It is a pitch, though.
No, I know, but
not
I mean,
many
also,
guys throw it.
But like, you can't make the two-seamer and the four-seamer two different pitches, and the cutter also a different pitch.
But they do have different movements.
No, but you can't say you really throw nine pitches. That's just three different versions of a fastball.
Yes, but as someone who caught a little bit, what I'm saying is, how does the catcher keep up with all these pitches knowing what they are? You remember we played that baseball game in Brooklyn?
John Flaherty could.
I'm sure he could. And yes. Who was the John Halama pitched?
Yes.
And
John Halama.
Yeah. And so I go in the bullpen with John Halama and I give him a fastball and he threw a slider. I called for a curveball and he threw a fastball that hit me. I went to turn and it hit me right here. I was black and blue for a week. He goes, yeah, my bad. That one didn't break. Yeah. Well, if you don't know what's coming, that would happen a lot, I would think.
True.
Yeah. See,
again, you would not have this story to tell.
Yes.
If you did not go through that.
You're
John
very
Obama.
Right. That's true.
I thought you were going
to
say.
In a unrelated story, I don't know if you know, one time I was behind a tree. And I tried to hit a line drive around the tree. It hit the tree, came back, and got me right in the face.
Yeah.
And it was like for Father's Day. My dad was there. My kids were there. It was brutal, dude. I don't know if you've ever heard the story. I went to the hospital. I got stitches. They stayed and played. And every time we play at that course, which isn't often, it's like the memorial tree. I look at it all the time, and I think, Boomer.
You know, I still laugh at that.
No, I'm sure you
do. That's a great story. So, that's one of the all-time great stories.
So
and it would have been even better had we been at your funeral.
Ah, wait, that's not appropriate.
Well, that would have really paid
that's
off the entire story. That's why I said that would have been an epic funeral.
Wait, that's terrible. That's like you doing. That's like you doing commercials for boner pills, and us saying it would only have been better if the boner pill gave you a heart attack and you died.
Yeah, but I don't do boner pills.
Well, whatever. I mean, a lot of these guys do. I mean,
you actually got hit in the face with a
golf
ball.
But why would you say it'd be a better story if I died?
Because, like, my buddy Joe G, when he ran into the back of a semi-truck, you know, if he wasn't driving his wife's car, we would have been at a headless funeral.
Yeah, we've heard you tell the story.
And we would have never forgotten how he passed away, unfortunately.
I mean, now I'm just picturing Boomer standing over your casket going...
Can you believe this? He died doing what he wanted to do with the people he was with.
I call BS on that.
God. LOL, everybody.
Man. Okay.
Well, by the way, I did not bring it up this morning. You did.
Well, I figured I would beat the dead horse before you got it with the bat.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Oh, you were thinking about it. Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Definitely thinking about it.
I don't think an hour goes by in your life where you don't think about
it. You're probably right. I probably think about it every day. At least three times a day.
Will you tell that story today, or has this been told to the two people you're playing with?
Yeah, no.
It's been told to those guys.
Several times.
Yes.
Several times, of course it has been.
It's like I sent a video text out of one of the guys that we're playing with today. If you ever need a good laugh, I'll send you this video of him swinging the golf club and then throwing the golf club. It's hilarious. And it's funnier every time you watch it. Just like it's funnier every time we talk about you dying by getting yourself with a golf ball.
Is D-dubs?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I've got a video of Boomer farting in his backswing.
You know what that is? That's man stuff.
I watch that occasionally. That's a really good one.
Yeah. I have never seen it, so I don't know. Have I seen it?
You've seen it. It was sent to you, and I didn't take the video. It was sent to you in a group text of all of us that were there. Oh. Someone took the video because I'm not. I don't do a lot of that. Like, you know, I don't like that stuff.
Yes.
But with this particular thing, I'm glad somebody caught this. You know?
Now I have the image of him sitting on his couch on a Friday night. Just repeat.
Rinse, repeat. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, I didn't have that.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I've seen this video. You're not far off.
I don't remember. Did I see the video? I don't think I saw
definitely
it.
Saw the video. Well, it was sent to you. I know that much.
It was?
It was sent. Yes, indeed. It was.
Could you tell me who took the video?
Someone that we played with up at Silo Ridge.
Okay.
That was moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno, Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Right, here we go. Hold on. Let me just fast forward.
Is it fair to say Boomer was also a couple of transfusions in at this point?
Yeah. I just got to make sure
it's clean.
Yeah, there's, all right, hold on. Let's just get to the point where it's quiet, where he's about to swing the club.
I don't remember that. I don't think I was a part of the text. Am I on the text message?
You were on the text message.
I was.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
You were on the text message. Let me see it. Now I lost it.
Oh.
Damn it.
Hold on. He'll find it. Don't worry. He watches it once a night.
That is great.
Very funny.
I love that.
Just quickly, Royals beat the Yankees. Series finale tonight. Luis Gil makes the start. We'll have it on the fan. Mets and Blue Jays wrap things up this afternoon. 3:07 first pitch there. And that's pretty much it for this hour. As we are running late.
Well, just watch with the microphone because there's a lot of going on.
Turn that off.
All right. It's Boomer and Gio on the fan at CBS Sports Network. Coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Gio.
Hi, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, Thursday Night Football is a huge game. It's Buffalo at Miami.
Yeah.
So we all know what happened with Tyreek Hill. Somehow he was able to put that behind him and put up an unbelievable performance, you know, this week against the Jaguars. The question is, with everything now swirling around because of this incident, I'm thinking that it's a good thing that it's a quick turnaround for Miami, but it also means that there's going to be so many more eyes on this game. There's going to be so much more talk about all of this. And I just wonder if that tends to be a distraction for a team. Is this when you want to play a team, or are they going to try to make a point? You know, the coach was upset about it after the game. There's a lot of back and forth going on between Miami-Dade County Police and of course, the Miami Dolphins, and everybody's got an opinion about it. How do you think this affects the game?
I don't think it does, because the Dolphins were down 14 points in that game to the Jaguars, in which that morning it happened. And there were other teammates that were involved and showed up at the scene, and it was fresh and it was different. And he ends up, you know, getting off to a slow start, then has that 80-yard touchdown reception, does the celebration. They talk about it. He does a CNN interview. I think the page is turned now for them. And I also think that, you know, they went through a couple of years back-to-back where they got off to great starts and then fell apart. And they've dealt with a lot of adversities. This is year three for Mike McDaniel. I think that they're not thinking about it at all. I don't think it affects the game at all.
I guess we'll find out. And, you know, the one thing I will say, four quarterbacks came off of injuries and started the season this year. Daniel Jones being one, Deshaun Watson being the other, Kirk Cousins, and Aaron Rodgers.
Richardson, too.
Well, I guess then Anthony Richardson, yeah. So out of those five guys, the guy that had the best game, most solid game, would be Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't see the whole Anthony Richardson performance.
He was all over the place.
I mean, he had that one great touchdown pass, but
yeah.
But yeah, I guess. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, but that's sort of, as I've said before, winning best complexion in a leper colony. It was, but nobody really played all that well.
Nobody did. And, you know, and guys with new teams and new teammates, Kirk Cousins with a new coach. It's a long season. Let's put it that way. And I mean, Kirk Cousins got to go on the road this week. Where were they? They're playing. I'm trying to think where they're playing again.
The Falcons this week.
Yeah, they got a tough game this week.
Do they?
Every week's tough. You know that, and I know that.
So you're just throwing it out there. They probably have a tough week. They're playing the Eagles on Monday night.
That's right. That's right. Monday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Monday night football. Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. So that is not an easy one for sure. And Kirk Cousins against the Eagles as a member of the Minnesota Vikings was always horrendous. So we will see in that one. But it's a great Thursday night game. And we had great games to kick off Thursday night, Friday night. We're both great. And you get another really good Thursday night game, which is rare.
Hell, and Sunday night was great.
It was. Yep. And it's rare to get another really good Thursday night matchup right out of the gate here, too.
Quickly, let's go to Tony in Staten Island. Tony, what's happening?
Guys, as we all know, today's a heavy day, but I just want to thank you, Gio, Boom, Jerry, Al, and my Blessed Sacrament Titan League man, Eddie. Thank you for getting me through the day, every day. You guys are the best, and I love you. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, thank you, Tony. Appreciate that.
Yeah, the love is mutual, of course, Tony, and we do appreciate that. And, yes, we had our thoughts on the 23rd anniversary this morning to open the show, and you can always go back and take a listen on the free Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.